All right. So, sorry about that. I'm a little late. A little technical difficulties with the old technology. And we all know technology is great when it wants to work. And when it doesn't want to work, you're fizzucked. So hold on 1 second. I'm almost totally set and ready to, I got to do one thing. And then I can really jump into this and we can have a little, hopefully a little fun. There we go. All right, everybody. Welcome to the live Chasmos show. The goal today with this was to go live on YouTube, live on Facebook, live on TikTok, live on Instagram, pretty much all the social media stuff I have. But with some technical difficulties, I think we're only live on YouTube and Facebook and I think TikTok, which will be my first live segment on TikTok. Hope you all can hear me all right. I'm hearing the, So anyway, technical difficulties, but we'll work through them. But anyway, hey, welcome to the live Chaz Mosh show. I am Chaz, a.k.a. Mosh of the legendary tag team, the Headbangers, the most underrated tag team in the history of wrestling. Even ChatGPT says that. So here we are. This is where we're going to talk wrestling, life, and everything in between. So let's go. I guess the problem is I can't see the chat room. I guess that's the problem I'm going to have. So I'm going to have to figure that out. But listen, this is a before we really get started on anything, I want to start doing it. I was doing the Instagram live on every Wednesday at like 5:30. I'm going to try stay consistent at 5 o'clock. I know some people are just getting off work, but with my schedule, that 5 o'clock time slot works great. But don't worry. This will be on replay on YouTube, on my channel on YouTube, and you will be able to hear this anywhere or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be able to catch the replay on it. And so that's it. So that's what we're going to do. I'm going to go live every Wednesday now. I'm going to use all these platforms, and hopefully I'll figure out the technology side of it so I can see the chat. But I will go back when this is done and read through the chat to see what questions I missed or comments I missed. Cause I do want this to be interactive. I want you guys to be a part of this as well. I want you to, to comment, give your opinions, because I'm definitely going to be giving my opinions. And just remember, opinions are like assholes. Everyone's got them. Some are big, some are small, and some just stink. I am talking about buttholes still. But yeah, so this is what I want to do. So this is kind of the new setup, the new platform, I guess, that I'm gonna try and roll with, and I hope it works. Like I said, I don't know if I have access to comments right now or not on my phone. Oh, we don't want to do that. Nope, we don't want that either. So I don't know. Listen, I just don't know. But you know what? We're gonna figure it out, right? So I am the only person here. I don't have a producer, so it's just me all my own. So this is going to be every Wednesday. And those of you that have joined me the last couple of months on Wednesdays for the Instagram Live, thank you. Just trying to step it up a little and do a little something different. As you can see, I'm supporting my boy John Kruk here. And yes, he is my spirit animal. And I hope I can be just a percentage, maybe 10-20% as entertaining as he is, because I'm a huge Phillies fan, love the Phillies, love John Kruk. It's actually the only Phillies jersey that I have signed. I was fortunate enough last year to meet Kruk up in the booth. That's actually how I got this shirt. He gave me the shirt, which was amazing. So all the proceeds to this shirt actually goes to veterans that are having mental health issues. So I think it's right here. Battle Brothers. It says Battle Brothers Foundation. So it's right there. So if you want to go there and you want to check it out, but yeah, so John Kruk sells these, you know, I just figured I'd try to, I guess, feel out my inner John Kruk for this first live Chaz Moss show here. Yeah, so don't worry. Next week, we're going to start back Wednesdays at 5 o'clock. And again, like I said, I'm going to be trying to go on all my social media platforms. Instagram, I'll figure that out. YouTube, we're there now. Facebook, I think we're there now. I got to figure out Twitter. I'm not sure if Twitter worked or not, or TikTok. I don't know. But going to try to change the format up a little bit also. I don't even know if it's really called a format. But anyway, I'm going to have a guest. I'll have co-host come in with me, or maybe not here in person if they're not local, or at least, you know, then I can get them in via, you know, satellite, you know, coverage, satellite coverage, whatever we want to call it, Zoom, whatever. We'll be able to do that. And yeah, so we're going to talk wrestling, things outside of wrestling, you know, and whatever else is happening in the world that catches my attention or catches your attention. Because again, like I said, I want this to be interactive. I want to have questions. I want you guys to ask me questions so I can give you the answers. So for the most part, I'll be winging it. But, you know, I kind of come up with a plan. And that's why I keep looking down. I'm trying to stay a little focused here because I will just kind of go off on a tangent over here and a tangent over here where I'll just knock the microphone over. And then you won't be able to hear me anyway. So it won't really matter. But, yeah, so that's it. So it's going to feature guests. I'll have co-hosts. I'll have different people come on with me. We're just going to try and make it fun and interactive as much as we can. And I totally had another sheet, and I just realized I didn't bring it up. But oh well. So yeah. So what I want to do is, like I said, get interactive. You can leave questions or comments on the thread here. Like I said, I'll go back and read it. Or you can go, you can email me at chaz@chazmosh.com to do that. So the big thing, I guess, that a lot of people are talking about, because I do listen to Pro Wrestling Nation 24/7 on Sirius XM, because I like the different opinions. I like to hear, I know I have my thoughts, I have my opinions on what's going on, you know, in the world of wrestling. And I guess I'll have to say more WWE. I'm trying to watch or get into a little bit AEW, because what I've heard, it's gotten better. I'll admit I've just never been a big AEW fan, for no other reason than I just never really started watching it. So I don't know everyone on there, which, you know, if you don't know the people, it's like watching, you know, a new show. You know, you got to really get into it. And the example I'll give is I loved Yellowstone. Yellowstone was one of my favorite shows. Maybe I have to channel my inner Beth Dutton. Ooh. See, I diverse. But no. So they have spinoff shows. So the Dutton Ranch, that's kind of easy to get into right away, because, you know, you had Rip, you had Beth, and you know, you had Carter. So you kind of knew the characters right off the bat. But the Marshall show, the spinoff with Casey, I've talked to a few people about it, and they said, watch a couple episodes. Couldn't really get into it. I was the same way. Two, three episodes. I think the third, fourth episode, I started getting into it a little bit more. And the reason I started getting into it a little more was because you start to get to know the characters. That Marshall show had totally different characters than, you know, Yellowstone. The only ones that were there are Carter and then the Indian chief guy. So there was only a few, but it took a little bit to get to know the other characters. So I guess that's my problem with AEW, is I got to get to know, you know, the different talent that's there. Names I know, I've heard. It's just a matter of watching it. And then the other side of it is time. It's a lot of wrestling that's on. I mean, that's literally every single night, you know, with TNA. So anyway, I'm going to try and broaden my horizons so we don't just speak about WWE. You know, I'm going to talk about everything, but, you know, just wrestling, things in general, life. But one of the things I know that's been a big topic the last couple of weeks are the crowds that were overseas when they were in Italy and when they were in Paris. The crowds were, you feel it through the TV. They were so loud. They were so into it. The chants were huge. I mean, the chants were so loud for Oba on Monday Night Raw that when Dom came out, he just drowned him out. You couldn't even hear what Dominic was saying, which is amazing. And, you know, it just Dominic's on a microphone, but the crowd, the arena was so loud, you couldn't hear him even with a microphone, which was unbelievable. So there's I was asked about this the other night. I play kickball and talking to a couple of my friends about it. And they were like, why are the crowds so crazy over there, but they're not like that here in the United States? For me, the answer is pretty simple. It's because they don't get it all the time. I think here in the States, we're kind of spoiled, you know, because we get it. You know, it's easy to get to a show, even if it's, you know, pay-per-view or, sorry, PLE now, you know, you want to go fly there, you know, you can. It's easier access. So they don't get it all the time like we do. The other side of it, too, is I think, and if you take this the wrong way, you take it the wrong way. I think they are a little more, because they don't get it all the time, maybe a little bit more appreciative. Over here, I think our culture is more focused on critiquing and the negative side of it instead of, and again, I could be wrong because I don't really, just going off of crowd reaction. As a society today, as a culture today, we can be very negative. We like to focus on the negatives. We like to focus on the drama of things instead of just sitting back and watching the product, whether it's wrestling, whether it's Yellowstone, whether it's, you know, a football game or a baseball game. Now, I will get critical of a baseball game. But again, I'm sitting back. I'm trying, you know, just sit back. My point is sit back and just enjoy the product. I think everyone now, because of social media, you know, everyone wants to have that opinion, which is great. But again, you know, they're like assholes. Everyone has them. Some are big, some are small, and some are stinky. But it's just, I hope you're understanding my point, is just, I don't think people here in the States just sit back, relax, and enjoy, you know, watching it. That's what I try to do. I try to watch wrestling from a fan's point of view because I am a fan of professional wrestling. And that's what I want to do. I want to sit back. I want to enjoy it. I want to watch the stories unfold. Yes, I try to figure out what's going on. I try to guess who's going to win a match. You know, you have a Gunther Cody match coming up. I want to try and guess who's going to win and what's going to happen after that. You know, where's it going to go when whoever wins? And I try to figure all that out. But I try to do it with, you know, silver lining, positive thought. I don't want to critique the wrestlers because, you know, I do it and I don't mind being critiqued. But it's tough when you're out in the ring and you're kind of going on the fly, you forget something, you mess something up, you know. So that side of it, that's what I think we do too much here in the States, which is why I think the crowds over there are so much more into it. But hell, I could be wrong, you know, with coming back to the States. Maybe the United States fans are going to go, you know what? Screw you, Italy. Screw you, France. Screw you, everyone over there. We're going to be louder than you, which would be amazing. That would be amazing to sit home and watch that because you can feel, when you can feel it through the TV, it's something, to me, it's something special. And I think it's amazing. So that's the whole thing there. I thought that was pretty amazing. So Glenn and I on the Stage Dive, the other podcast we do, we were talking about, we did it last week. We were talking about the King and Queen of the Ring, and we kind of broke down who we thought was going to win and who we thought, you know, was going to lose. And I had printed it out, but I think I left it downstairs, so no big deal. I can remember in my head. If I equate this to a March Madness college basketball tournament, my King bracket is broken. It's broken. It's broken bad. It's terrible. I had Oba. I had Seth Rollins, who didn't win. I was shocked at Dominic. I think that's going to be, I mean, obviously, you know, tonight on SmackDown, we'll see who the fourth contestant is, who's going to face off against Javon Evans. Javon shocked me. I thought for sure Seth Rollins would be going in there. My thought, well, I had two, I had two thoughts on King of the Ring. One is still viable. I thought it's either going to be Seth Rollins, who then was going to go, he was going to win King of the Ring and then go on and challenge Roman for the belt that he never officially lost. But I thought the only way that could happen would be for Brock to come back and somehow interfere and make Oba lose. So now we got an interesting thing with Oba and Dominic, Dirty Dom, is I still feel Oba's going to win. I think King Oba is going to be awesome. I think that's just going to be great to call him King. But I know the winner of the King of the Ring gets a title shot at SummerSlam. So what happens there? Because the thought process has been all along, Oba and Brock, one win apiece, got to have that rubber match. Being at SummerSlams in Minneapolis, is that going to be the rubber match there? So does that still happen? If Oba doesn't win, then it's easier. If Oba does win and you got King Oba, then you know, it makes it a little bit more interesting. And does Dirty Dom get the entire Judgment Day involved? But as we've seen with Oba, especially last week when JD cracked him with the chair, and Oba punched a chair, it's like Oba's just a beast and he's going to be tough to beat. But I look forward to it. I do think I had this thought and I talked about it back with Glenn on a stage dive and then Bubba on Busted Open with David LaGreca had kind of the same idea. We had both kind of had the same idea, but it was just done a little bit differently. It wouldn't surprise me if, and I think it would be amazing if Oba wins King of the Ring, then he goes on Saturday night and faces Roman. He faced Brock on Saturday night, and then he could face Roman on Sunday night on night two. There could be a twist, because in my mind, I know Brock said 1v1, but Brock hasn't been around since Clash at Italy, since he beat Oba. So does Brock come back now and basically say to Oba, listen, I've already beaten you. I've got, you know, I beat the shit out of you on Raw. Then we had the match at Clash at Italy, and I beat you there. Like, I know we're 1-1-1, but I'm done with you. So does a stipulation come up where, let's say, Oba pulls him in and says, listen, you know, I'm the king. I'm King Oba. I'm King in the Ring. I have a title shot at SummerSlam against Roman Reigns. If you can beat me night one of SummerSlam, I'll give you my title shot against Roman Reigns. Again, Bubba and I had had the same thought, but I just think there's a way for that to happen. I don't know. I don't know if that's ever been done, having someone kind of main event both nights. I know the WrestleMania a couple years ago, there was the tag match, but that's a little bit different than one person main eventing both. But yeah, it's something it's never been done. Let's put that rocket on Oba's back and send him. He can talk, he can work, he's a beast, and he's so over right now. Let's push him. Let's get it going. But so my bracket there is broken, and I honestly, because I can honestly see Dominic going over on him somehow, and how that could happen would be, you know, having, I think the only way, again, the only way I think Oba loses King of the Ring tournament is if somehow Brock interferes. Other than that, I think he's the choice. But again, he interferes Dominic. I can see Dominic winning and then going after, you know, one of the belts too, because, you know, he's so over also. But then again, a Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns match again, you know, for the belt would be amazing as well. So I can see it going that way. my queen of the ring brackets are pretty much still intact. I had Io Sky winning. I'm so brain far off my head. Liv winning and Raquel. So, and I think tonight on SmackDown, I think Charlotte goes over. So I have two scenarios here also. The one scenario is Io Sky becomes queen of the ring and she goes after Rhea. Now, Rhea has never beaten Io Sky. So that could be a very interesting storyline feeding into SummerSlam, being that Io's never beaten Rhea. Now, they're friends. They were tag champs together. So that puts the thought in of, does Rhea finally beat her and retain the title? Or does Io remain undefeated against Rhea and now there's a battle there? So I think that's one way it could go. I think Liv could go over also. I think that's big there. I think Liv and Raquel in the finals is a big possibility also, because there's all kinds of tension there in the judgment day. And then does Roxanne somehow get involved? Because Roxanne seeming in the back getting a little bit sketchy. So who knows what her thoughts are there? Or does Liv go and get all of the belts? Then Dom challenges for a belt, and wouldn't surprise me at this point, you know, if Dom got the belt too. But yeah, so I had picked Raquel, I picked Liv, and I picked Io, and now tonight I'm picking Charlotte. So if Charlotte goes over tonight, then I will have the perfect women's bracket rolling into Night of Champions. I won't have it perfect at Night of Champions because the semifinals I don't think are happening that night. But anyway, yeah, so my queen bracket is right there, is perfect right now. Yeah, so we'll see what happens there. But I think those are my two scenarios. Liv goes over, and then she goes after Rhea to get both titles, or Io goes over and goes after Rhea. Those are my two choices there. Yeah, so anyway, moving on. So this week, for the next few weeks on Wednesdays, there's a kids camp right here by me where I live, called Bright House Camp. And Yale, the gentleman who runs it, is a huge wrestling fan. And he actually, for a while, was called Yes Camp. And all the kids in the morning were doing Daniel Bryan's Yes chants. It was funny. He put on a wrestling show. And, you know, I've done that a couple of times. Glenn's done it a couple of times. My son actually went to the camp for a couple of years. So it was cool to be able to go to the camp and wrestle in front of him. But they started it last year, a different kind of format. So my friend Larry Brannon, who is known as Vito De Nova, something like that. He was part of the Heavenly Bodies back in the day, three-time NWA World Tag Team Champion. He's run Ring Warriors, NWA Ring Warriors, done shows for him. But anyway, they're doing on every Wednesday for like 4 hours, we get different groups. They come in and we're teaching them a little bit about pro wrestling. And it started this past week. And each class we started with, you know, introducing ourselves, telling our backgrounds, what we've done, where we've been. And, you know, we did Q&A with them. And, so we did that, and then, you know, like, then we taught them, like, how to lock up and how to kind of, like, move around, collar and elbow tie up. You know, we'll teach them, you know, like, some headlocks, like, just basic stuff, just to make it fun. But I share that with you because one of the kids asked me was, what were my top three favorite matches? And I've had so many memorable matches, so many great matches. It's hard, but not hard to categorize the three of them. The simple ones are, I don't even know if it's that simple, because now I'm thinking about it. The very first match we had in WWE. Now, if you go and get my book, or if you have my book right here, I actually list these in the back of the book. It's the 10. And they're kind of just, they're not listed in order. They're just chronologically. And the first one, I believe, was obviously my first match I ever had in the ring against Adam Bomb. Then another one is obviously first like real match I had down at the school, down at the Monster Factory. And then Glenn and I winning the Monster Factory or the WWA, whatever it was, tag team titles. and then it jumps up to like WWE when we were there. The biggest one being WrestleMania 13. Blows me away that we're like going into what, WrestleMania 43. Jesus, that was 30 years ago. It's crazy. But yeah, WrestleMania 13, first WrestleMania. We win WrestleMania and then go on the next night to face Davey Boy and Owen for the tag team titles, which we didn't win, but still, we were there. Next one would be obviously, for me, so obvious, it would be Ground Zero. September of 97, when we won the tag team titles with the assistance from our good friend Stone Cold Steve Austin. And then there's so many more. But out of all of that, the top match for me is the 2016 match when we went back, hadn't been on WWE TV in 15 years. We went back and we worked Heath and Rhino in the tag team tournament that they had started, and which crowned Heath and Rhino as the first ever SmackDown tag team champions. The reason for that is my son at that point, 2016, he was 12. At that point, he had seen me do hundreds of independent shows and, you know, local shows here in Florida, you know, a couple in Jersey, and I would fly him up there with me and he would go because I'd see family and stuff like that. But one of the things I always wanted was for him just one time to see me in a WWE ring, whether that was fortunate enough to be on TV, whether it just was, you know, a house show. Every time they came to South Florida, WWE came to South Florida, I would try to reach out to Triple H and ask him if I could get on a show. Whether, like I said, whether it was TV or whether it was a house show, if it was TV, it could have been a dark match or just a house show, anything. I was always told no. So always told no for liability and insurance reasons and all that other hoopla. And no matter how many times I said, you know, I'll sign a waiver, I'll sign whatever you want. Like, I just need that one opportunity for him. And it had nothing to do with him. It was more me wanting him to see me in that ring. Because I don't think to this day he realizes the extent of where I got in the world of wrestling. You know, he sees the action figures. He sees my belt. He sees all that. But at the same time, unless you, I guess you live through it. And I in my head, I feel kind of stupid saying this. And to me, it sounds a little diva-ish, but I'm not that way at all. We got pretty high. You know, I got to a very good level, but I don't think he understands it. So I just wanted him one time to see me in front of all those people perform. So 2016 came, and I wrote it. It's all in here. But basically, Road Dogg reached out, and he was like, listen, we got this spot. Because what would happen is I mentioned Road Dogg because when I would see Road Dogg on when independent shows, and I was like, listen, come on, man, you know, you're good with Trip still. Like, you know, give him a buzz, shoot him a text or something, get me on one of these shows. So when I got the call from him about going up and doing it, I was like, this is the greatest thing ever. This is going to be like the highlight for me. So we got to go to Dallas, got to go up there. And the funny part is I said to my son, I go, when I'm walking to the ring, what would you like me to do? So, you know, it's specifically for you. No one else will know what it is except for you. This will be our thing. I said, would you like me to do the monkey face? And he said no, because when my niece was young, and this was before I was wrestling, I did the monkey face because she laughed at it. So that was kind of our thing. So when I would come down to the ring and I did the monkey face, that was my niece knowing when she would watch it that I was doing that for her. And he said no, because that was her thing. I said, fine. So finally he came up and he says to me, he goes, I want you to do the dab, the old Cam Newton dab. And I said, no, I hate the dab. I think the dab is stupid. I don't want to do the dab. He looked at me. He pointed his finger at me. He goes, that's exactly why I want you to do the dab. And I was like, all right, fair enough. Guess I'm doing the dab. And yeah, so we go down. Normally when you're going to do special things or different things, or you want to make sure the cameras pick something up, you know, you talk to the camera guys, you talk to the guys in the production truck, you know, you want to let them know what you're doing. I did not do that for this match when we came back. I just went down in the ring. I did my roll through the middle and bottom rope right to the other corner. And there it was. Camera was on me plain as day, zoomed in, and there was the dab. Bam. Hit it. Have the match. Great match. Felt so great to be out there in front of the, you know, in front of the cameras and WWE Universe again and, you know, all that other happy bullshit. But the highlight for me was when I got back to the hotel and like started coming off of like cloud nine. My phone buzzed. There was a text from my wife at the time. She had set her phone up, and this is why this is the greatest match for me. Because not only did he get to see me in a WWE ring, he got to watch it live on TV, which I thought was even cooler because, you know, Bradshaw put us over so big during commentary. You know, he got to hear the commentary. He got to hear the reaction. We got to, because we got a huge pop also and a huge reaction from the crowd. But the highlight for me was the text message from my ex with a video. What she did was she took her phone, set it up behind my son so I could watch him watch me on the TV. So as I'm coming out, you know, I'm seeing his reaction of watching me come out. And when I did that roll, like I always do, getting into the ring, and I hit that opposite corner and I hit that stupid dab, he reacted in such a way, it literally brought tears to my eyes. He sat there and he kind of turned his head a little bit and he like wiped his eyes. And when I watched it back, when I got home, I said to him, I go, what was the head turn and wiping the eyes? I'm like, did you get a little teary-eyed? Why, you know, watching your dad out there on the TV? And my son wasn't going to put me over, and which I would expect nothing else because, again, he is my son. He's like, no, the ceiling fan was gone, and the air was, you know, made my eyes tear. And I'm like, yeah, okay. But I still have that. I have that saved on my phone. I have it saved anywhere I can have it saved because that is 1 5-minute video that I do not ever want to lose. So my top match ever would be the Heath and Rhino return match in 2016. That was pretty amazing, you know, to be able to go back and do that. And there's so many other little stories wrapped into that day also, which we can get into on a different episode. But being able to watch my son watch me made it even better, made it a lot more special. All right, so that's all I got to say about that before I get all teary-eyed about it. But hey, yeah. So again, this show, we're going to do it every week on Wednesdays. One thing I want to bring up real quick, not everyone knows this. I mean, it's becoming a little bit more public now. I've done videos on it and things like that. But back in 2018, I did have thyroid cancer that spread to my lymph nodes. I got the cool scar. And I wrote a book about it. I mean, it's not a long book. I think it's like 85 pages. But it is on Amazon, so I just wanted to share it. So I piggybacked. Yes, I piggybacked off of my book, Beneath the Skirt, and I went with Beneath the Scar. But that's on Amazon. And I guess if you're watching, you can see it behind me. I got the two books up there. You know, so if you want to go get this one right here, you can get it on Amazon, but if you want it signed, you got to go to chazmosh.com. I got the paperback, got the hardback. This one, as of right now, is only available. Beneath the Scar is only available on Amazon. Again, it just got published on Amazon last week. So I did order a bunch. I will have them here. I will put those up on the website for anyone who may want to read my story. It's basically, it says it right there in the title, how one lump changed everything. We'll get into this more later on too, but you know, I had a lump that was really nothing that led to them finding my thyroid cancer, and my cancer was a fast spreading seed. So if it wasn't for the lipoma, the lump that was nothing, I don't know what would have happened, but, yeah, so I'm very grateful for that lump. But the point of writing this book is not to, you know, it's not to make a bunch of money. It's not about anything like that. It's more about just awareness, awareness to go get, you know, you feel your body out. If something feels off, if something doesn't feel right, get it looked at. You know, go get early detections, huge, and, you know, just things like that. But again, different time, different episode. We can get more into that. Just wanted to throw it out there for anyone who may be interested in going and checking it out. Go check it out. You can get it on paperback. It's on Kindle as well. But yeah, so you can watch this show on YouTube. This will replay on YouTube. For those of you that came in late or those who didn't see it at all, anyone who's here, anyone's listening or watching, first of all, I appreciate it. You can watch it there, and you can get it wherever you get your podcasts. And while you're there, make sure you hit that little subscribe button so then you get updates. You know, when I put new things out, you know, you can get the updates. Yeah, last but not least, you know, head over to chazmosh.com. You get your Beneath the Skirt, and then there's some exclusive merch on there. I have exclusive pictures on there that are early Headbanger Mosh pictures. I think one of them, I wasn't even wearing a skirt yet. You know, Smoky Mountain when we first started. And yeah, I mean, if you're here, you're kind of already following me on social media, but you know, at Chaz Mosh for all of it. And yeah, so that's all I got today. I appreciate everyone chiming in. I hope you left comments. I hope this even worked. Left comments, questions. Remember, you can go and chaz@chazmosh.com to email me questions or comments, things you want to hear about, you want me to talk about. And hey, remember, do whatever makes your heart happy. Just don't suck at it. See you guys all next week. Peace out. Now you got to watch me get up and walk away so I can turn this off.